Hello and welcome to the Last Mixtape Podcast. My name is Stephen White, and on this week's show, RTE Choice Prize 2023 is in the bag and out of sight. Animo Drive's new album, Breakfast in Bed, and new music from the week that was. But first, yes, dear listener, your intrepid host was on the front lines deep in the Irish music industry sphere to report back on the RTE Choice Music Prize live event at Vicar Street last Thursday night. There was awards, there was music, there was dancing, and they say, on a clear day, if you can listen close enough, you can still hear Denise Chyla's award-giving speech still going. But enough of that. What happened at the RTE Choice Music Prize 2023? I should say, yeah, it was a long speech in many, many ways. But these things happen. It's award shows. They're late on at night. Things are going. Yeah. So before anyone just says, "Oh my God, I can't believe he said that," it's fine. It's fine. It's just an award-giving speech. These things happen. There were some nice points in there along the way. So, the Choice Music Prize itself took place last Thursday night. The big winners were Lancome with their album, False Anthem, I called it. You may have heard me on a radio station recently saying that it was going to be CMAT, but that's not true. No, CMAT was my album of the year, obviously, if you listen to the podcast about that. But Lancome were actually second. They're an amazing band. It was an amazing album and very, very deserved winners. There was live performances on the night. Lancome themselves were deeply atmospheric and very powerful. CMAT herself performed on her own solo, an incredible version of Rent, where she just absolutely gave it her all on stage. It was beautiful to witness. Soda Blonde, who are my partner Aline's favourite band, I thought, of the night, she was saying just how much she loved Faye's movement and performance and the music. And as well, there was John Francis Flynn, who gave a very powerful, the last two tracks certainly were absolutely amazing from him, and a very commanding performance of the night. However, there was a thread throughout this year's Choice Music Prize. The spectre of an ongoing Palestinian genocide loomed large. This can be no surprise. Art is a mirror, and the marching on the streets of Ireland in support of Palestinian lives, human rights and the ceasefire found its way onto the Choice Music Prize stage and crowd last night, and rightfully so, last Thursday night. The contrast of reception between U2's receipt of their classic album War for Ochtung Baby and Lancome's performance directly after summed up this mood of the night perfectly. Although it should be said that Soda Blonde also showed her support for Palestine with a strong performance of Why Die for Danzig, and there were shouts of Free Palestine throughout. But it seemed to show mostly in the contrast between those two. I should say I'm a huge U2 fan. Stay Away So Far So Close is one of my favourite songs of all time. I love that era. I love that era of U2 as well, Ochtung Baby. I would agree with Dave Fanning in saying that I think Joshua Tree is the better album. But I love them as a band. I love their music. But I have to say, it was quite stark watching it there. They're on a big screen. They're in Las Vegas. They'd play these immense shows that I can only imagine were amazing to witness. But it seems so far removed from the very scene that was what would be the right word to say, presenting them with an award, I suppose. And that kind of cognitive dissonance with the crowd, obviously they couldn't hear them. They were on a pre-recorded video, so they obviously couldn't hear the crowd. So there was this kind of recording of an acceptance speech, which was, yeah, this is what happens. You're at an award. There are acceptance speeches. They kind of generally go a certain way. And just what they had to say, which was not what the crowd wanted. Now, I don't think you should force anyone to say anything in any way like that. I think it should naturally come, but I think people were disappointed that it wasn't naturally coming from a band that themselves were quite political and are quite politically motivated. And kind of the calling out of what's happening in Palestine should have been something, or it was something you would expect from them given their track record. And yeah, there was that cognitive dissonance. And then obviously Lancome come on and they are so powerful. Lancome's performance captured that mood. And as I say, art is a mirror of what's happening in our society. And what is happening in slow time in Palestine and the genocide that is happening there was always going to appear in our art, because that's the way a lot of these social issues do first, or not first, but do come to the fore. It is expressed, it's an expression. Langham perfectly captured that, and I should say again that so did Soda Bland with their performance too, of a passionate outcry for compassion itself. Now, there was a Langham won, they were given the award, rightfully so, and they chose their platform, they chose their time to speak on that cognitive dissonance. I don't know if they're directly referring to U2 or anything like that, but the cognitive dissonance of an award show within the broader concept or the broader structure. And there was controversy around it. So I was at the show, so I didn't know. But so the live broadcast did broadcast their speech, but the recording of the broadcast didn't. Now, RT, I think, have said, well, the recording was set to a certain time and the show ran over, as these things do. Shows do run over, especially live shows like that. I can imagine you've asked anyone working in production on a show like that, that it did. They had baked in maybe like a 15-minute overrun time. But I'm not here to make excuses for RT. I do not know. I have not agreed with their handling of the genocide in Palestine, especially. They're kind of trying to both sides a genocide, like this kind of feeling of, well, what do you think the people committing the genocide feel? What's your opinion? It's ugly. It's horrible. It's, I think, a cynical take on that idea of allowing both sides of a conversation to be heard. It's not a conversation when you're killing people. And now, look, I'm not here to like anything I say is a regurgitation or a less powerful version of what can be said, and I will not try to do that other than say that what is happening there is just awful. And if you can donate to all the to UNICEF, to Amnesty, go to a march if you can, share what you feel you need to share. But I do want to read out their acceptance speech, because just in case you didn't hear it, or just in case you want to know what they said, because I think it's incredibly powerful. I am getting this from Iva Tribe. He transcripted it onto his Instagram, so I will credit Patrick with this. So this is the acceptance speech, and I think this speaks to what the night was really an encapsulation of, when art, politics expressed through art so perfectly. And I do want to say, so this is the acceptance speech from Langham at the Choice Prize last Thursday. Thank you very much. We're very grateful to get this award, but to be honest, it's really hard to see how we can celebrate it with an actual live genocide going on. To be honest, every day seems more and more hopeless than the one before it, and we are trying to appeal to the consciences of people who may not have a conscience to begin with. There's a lot of despair out there. Maybe we can put enough pressure on the government to introduce some actual meaningful sanctions on Israel. They are master tacticians, and if the pressure raises high enough, they're going to have to do something about it. Otherwise, there's other ways to get things going. There's occupations, direct action, boycotts. Go into the supermarket. Find every Israeli product you can find. Fuck it in the bin. It's a good start anyway, because they think we're all going to need to do exactly what we can in the years to come. Your grandkids are going to be sitting on your lap and they're going to go, Nana, Granda, what did you do during the Palestinian genocide? And we're going to feel like an absolute prick if we can't tell them we did everything in our power to stop this horrendous genocide. And we don't want to feel like pricks. We want to feel happy. We want you to feel happy, rather. And we want the Palestinian people to be able to feel happiness. We want them to experience justice, equality, self-determination, independence, and all those other basic human rights that are apparently afforded to everyone else in the world. So that's all we have to say. Thanks for the award. Free Palestine. Those are the words of Langham on receipt of their Choice Music Prize album award on Thursday. And I think that says it all. As I said, there was that dissonance between you two and them, what's happening and what's being experienced, what's being expressed. Art is a way of expressing those things, and a way of expressing frustration, and a way of expressing political views like that. Yeah, it was incredibly powerful from them. It was a powerful performance, and it put something front and center that great art should do, which is what they spoke on there, and the importance to of a ceasefire, the importance of what is happening in Palestine at this moment in time, which is, as they rightfully say, it is a genocide happening in real time. Usually I don't talk about things like this on a podcast that's about music, but it seems only right, and I won't add anything more on, because those words were incredibly powerful and far better said than anything I can say, other than donate how you can, march where you can. Yeah, it is up there. They are right. It is up to us all to do what we can to try and make people, as they rightfully say, who may not have an actual conscience about it, feel something that they need to do. So yeah, that was a Choice Music Prize. I didn't, you know, that's what it was. There's nothing more to be said other than that. And that's how the night went. So we move on to our album review of the week, which comes from Animo Drive and his debut album, Breakfast in Bed. I should say his is Oisín Furlong of Thumper. This is his solo project, Animo Drive, and a debut album, Breakfast in Bed. Yeah, I absolutely adore this record. It was quite interesting. It's an interesting contrast from Oisín's work with Thumper, which is obviously this raucous, live, all-encompassing type band, to make this more delicate affair, which the album is. There's a lot going on in it. There's a lot of sounds. There's a lot of production to it. But there is this just subtle, delicate sound to it. It's almost like it's that kind of feeling of like if you're hungover on a Sunday, but it's like midday and you're kind of over the worst of it, you know? And it's kind of like, ah, yeah, you know, everything is okay and everything is chill. And it's quite a chill record, but with kind of Oisín's great songwriting at the heart of it, and a really beautifully laid out production as well, I have to say. It sets out its stall pretty early. The Same Asylum, which is the opening track on the album, is about 6 to 7 minutes long, and it takes its time, and it's an album that takes its time. It's very calm, it's very flowy, it moves along nice. There are these more rugged textures in there. They don't intrude on the album in any way that makes it, that unsettles that atmosphere. But it does have those moments within it. Goodbye and Good Luck is dotted with a lot of those sections where it does have this kind of, it's almost like the specter of Thumper is there with the guitar. It's like, ooh, there's a little bit of that, which really adds something to it. Otherwise, the record might have kind of meandered or felt like a meander. But it's beautifully done by Oisín. As well, yeah, it kind of flows, and it grabs your attention, but it doesn't at any point feel like it's struggling to keep it or that it needs to jolt you awake. It just has its tone, it has its feeling, it sets it. Some of the singles that came out beforehand, The Finder's Keeper and tracks like that, do have an energy to them. So it should be said that the whole album just kind of remains at a kind of like a flowy state, but even the bits that have more energy seem to fit into the overall atmosphere of the record, which is that of a more delicate, subtle kind of sound to it. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. NYC is another song on the record that I really enjoy. A song that kind of sweeps along in these great glistening and shimmering sounds. And yeah, it's really an album that you could feel yourself, like I even on the walk in, I was listening to it again just to refresh my mind about it. And you can kind of feel yourself just going in, getting your coffee, kind of doing these things. It does have this kind of, I suppose, Breakfast in Bed. It does perfectly kind of set the tone. And it's a beautiful contrast from his work with Thumper. It shows layers. It shows other ideas. I know Oisín did some work before that was not on the same lines, but not as rugged and raucous as Thumper. It was Colour and Sound was the name of the band. But this is beautifully done. Animo Drive. A record that, yeah, I definitely say, you know, not that you just have to listen to it on a Sunday. Oisín's probably there going, no. But yeah, definitely one that, yeah, you know, it really engulfs you in a beautifully set world of great songwriting, great sounds, great mood and texture and atmosphere. It doesn't outstay its welcome. It has long passages that you just kind of want to dive into. And yeah, I would really, really recommend this record. That is Animo Drives with Breakfast in Bed. I suppose it's that time of the show. Yes, dear listener, they seek him here, they seek him there. Those musos seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven or is he at the disco? That damned elusive Count of Monte Playlisto is back, baby. Once again, I have dived deep into the latest releases from the Irish music scene to deliver another beautiful bounty. And with a tear in my eye, dear listener, I shape them into the Irish mixtape on Spotify. Link in the bio, let's do this thing. You might be thinking, is he going to stop doing that? The answer is no. No, I won't. Let's kick things off on the playlist with Pillow Queens and their latest release, Like a Lesson. And I was thinking about this on the walk in about Pillow Queens. I was thinking they're really a band that have just defined a sound for themselves. And that's not to say that they've reinvented the wheel and created a new music or anything like that, but they have a sound that is uniquely theirs and uniquely Pillow Queens. This really plays into it. It has that heartbreak. It has that kind of taut lyrical nature that is quite emo in certain ways. Quite emo indeed. I don't know if they'd thank me for that, but you know, there you go. But it has a jaggedness to it. There's an engulfing nature about the way they present their music, the way they layer their music, the way that it moves vocally or where it moves in the rhythm and stuff like that. And Like a Lesson is very much like this. I can't wait to hear the new record because I do love their stuff. But Like a Lesson is yet another great sign that this will be yet another great record from Pillow Queens. And definitely check out Like a Lesson. We move on next to Elephant with his latest release, Tide. And yeah, actually, now I think of it, another artist who has a very defined sense of sound. There's an abstraction to the way Elephant makes his music, and the music and the voice are quite one and the same in terms of how they're mixed and how they're presented. This is no different. There's an abstraction between the two. And yeah, it has that delicate nature to it, but it has that kind of off-kilter, kaleidoscopic thing that Elephant likes to do. It is a beautifully tempered track. It's beautifully laid out. There's a lot going on, even in its short period of time. There's a lot of inventiveness in the way that Elephant portrays his music, and that's very much in there with Tide. And yeah, a very interesting artist that comes out, does interesting things, has a beautiful voice, I have to say, as well. And Tide is yet another aspect of that, of a songwriter who is never afraid to take leaps and jumps with their music and wait for the verse and wait for the chorus and establish a world. But this is a beautiful piece of music. Yeah, once again, by Elephant, the track is Tide. Next up, we have Overhead the Albatross with Your Last Breath, and the guys returning with a new single. I love the way Overhead the Albatross approach their music. I loved Learning to Growl, which is their album, but they have this kind of sense of like, look at all the stuff we could do. Hey, look at all of this. Look at the drama. And the kind of the widescreen presentation of their music in that kind of great post-rock tradition of like, you know, a score to a movie that doesn't exist. And Your Last Breath is very much like that. It's intertangled. There's elements sweeping in and out, drops and falls, and a beautiful piece of music, as always, by them, and a beautiful sense of drama and melodrama. But as I say, I do love the kind of like, we're doing all the stuff, let's just put the music, all of it, everything. And yeah, I do think that they have that great way of having an epic scale and knowing what to do with it at the right times and when to push and pull back and when to build and when to drop. And this is no different. It is quite a long song. clocking in and around 9 minutes. So yeah, it is a journey, and that's what they do, and they do it brilliantly. And I really enjoyed yet another release from them, another track from them, Overhead the Albatross, Your Last Breath. And we're going to close out this week with Fears and her new track, Cliff. Interesting, Fears featured last week with a track with Chalk. A very different mood going on here with this one. And yeah, again, it has that sense of self that Fears music has. It is soaked in atmosphere. It is soaked in meaning. It is patient in the way it presents itself. It has this abstract, almost otherworldly sound kind of existing on the periphery. There is beautiful musicianship within it, dotted throughout, where yeah, it just, I think it's a harp, it's something of that ilk, and it really plays into this slow moving, slow burn sound, giving it just like this little sprinkle of stardust on the top of it. And obviously Fear's vocal, which is this hushed, almost whispered, haunting vocal that kind of lives in the background of the song almost. That harp, I hope it's a harp, but they might be like, it's not a harp, it's a something else. But it exists almost in the background of its own song, which is very interesting choice and really kind of draws you closer. It reminds me of that kind of quote, I think it's in The Great Gatsby, about a character where they, you know, they speak softly so people move in closer to them to hear what they have to say. And this very much captures that. It's a beautiful song. It's Fears, it's Cliff is the name of the track, and do check it out. Those are the four tracks that the Count has chosen for this week's show. I hope you enjoy them. You can find all of these songs on the last mixtape, Irish mixtape, on Spotify, in the link in the bio, and all the usual places and spaces that you find your music. Before we wrap up for the podcast, I want to just shout out some gigs happening this weekend. And there's only really one place to start, and that is the St. Patrick's Festival, which is happening in the Festival Quarter, which is the Collins Barracks, or the National Museum of Ireland. Mother Presents Culture Club, which is happening in the Festival Quarter on the Saturday, which is a host of music from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. There's also the Sheilana gig with Denise Chyla, the Gold Global Stage with Selavita Mai, presenting Who's Next. Shpini na Héireann are playing, Niamh Burry, Acid Granny, Mo Cultivation. Yeah, there's loads going on for you to see at the festival, obviously, within the Festival Quarter, and obviously in the grander scheme of Dublin and all around. I'm sure there's other St. Patrick's Day related stuff as well. And also a shout out to Liam Gallagher and John Square, obviously two huge legends of the indie scene, who will be playing on the Saturday as well, March 16th, at the Olympia Theatre in Dublin, as they tour their brand new album, Just Another Rainbow, was the single from that led into it. And so they are the two gigs that I would like to shout out this week. If you want to go to gigs, go out, see some live music, enjoy yourself. And so it goes, and there it went. But before I go, thank you for listening. You can subscribe to the Last Mixtape Podcast in all the usual places and spaces. You can also submit your music or gigs to me via Stephen@thelastmixtape.com with the subject matter TLMT Podcast, or via Instagram, everywhere else. As I say, you can ask me what you want. But for now, that was the Last Mixtape Podcast. You were the listener. I was Stephen White. So long.